Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Recently, I've been reminded that parenting isn't valued enough in our modern society. With all the pressures on families, choices can be limited. However, we need to take our role as carers and mentors to future leaders very seriously. In March this year, 2025, Netflix drama Adolescence rocked our concept of what's happening with Gen Z. The British production, cinematically shot in one take per episode, explores the lives of teens living in a virtually connected world, where emojis are used as code and cyberbullying is taken to a whole new level. Although the series is fictional, it's hard to escape the uneasy feeling that what we've created and allowed access to as a global society was not very well thought through. Unleashing violent video games onto impressionable minds to recruit a generation of soldiers in the 80s may have been the first step, but unfettered access to adult content via social media was the last. Thanks to a conversation with Christian Vincenot in episode 25, I was connected with another US citizen, Raquel Boras, who's dedicated herself to creating an online space for Gen Z, or Gen Z, as they say in America. Raquel is a mum and founder of YouTube channel Ruck Vision, Ruck the Boat Show, and the Rated Gen Z podcast. Hi Raquel, it sounds like you've had a lot of creative outlets. Why choose to focus on Gen Z?
It was an evolution, a journey, and it was very organic, which I absolutely love. Because 5 years ago, I would have never envisioned that I'd be where I am at today with what I'm doing. Because I was in corporate America doing marketing and social media. And I suppose I was blessed to be already creating a personal brand even before it was a thing. So I didn't even know that I was doing that. So I naturally, I suppose you can say, had a gift for social media and marketing at my age. I mean, I'm gonna be 50 this year. And I always knew that I wanted to have kids when I was young. So I had kids at a young age, and I'm the mother of two Gen Zers now. And just being a parent of that generation and then COVID hitting, I decided that I wanted to find out what they were experiencing and how are they feeling. Because obviously when it's your own kids, a lot of times they won't open up as much to their own parents. And even though I have a good relationship with my kids and it's pretty open, I wanted to explore what other kids their ages were thinking and experiencing. And so that's when I started the YouTube channel, Rock the Boat. And then from there, Rated Gen Z podcast. And then from there, doing a documentary film called I Hear You, Gen Z. So yes, it was a process. But I think essentially a lot of it is realizing that I myself needed to heal my inner child, being that at age 20, I had a failed suicide attempt in college and I didn't feel seen or heard. And my parents didn't really take it seriously enough to where I felt like it was that important, which now as a mother, if that was the case with one of my children, I would have responded very differently. So just having that kind of experience and realizing how much it affected my life and how I looked at myself and how I felt and how I thought I wasn't worthy and deserving of many things. And so I realized that our youth, they feel the same way. And if we don't do something to build that confidence and have them feel seen and heard, then they themselves are going to grow up feeling the same way that a lot of us do, unworthy.
Every generation, I suppose, feels that intergenerational gap where we feel judged or whatever by the previous generation. And I'm wondering what challenges you've discovered that may be different from our X generation.
What I have found is they're the first generation to have all this information at their fingertips. And you have social media that is essentially parenting them in a way and giving them information, which a lot of it's very false. And so for them, they feel this sense of they don't know how to decipher what's good or bad. And it's almost like they're looking to us to help them figure that out, because they understand that they have access to all of this. And they themselves are struggling with all that information. They just feel, a lot of them feel lost. And I think we need to hold ourselves accountable for a lot of that, and a lot of the behaviors that they have with their phones and social media and so forth. And that's kind of what I'm also trying to convey, is that we as adults have a responsibility as well. We can't just point our fingers at them and blame them. They didn't want this. They didn't create social media. We did. The phones, that was all, you know, the older generations. And so now that they have it, I feel like it's our responsibility to help them, guide them as much as we can.
I think it's one of the only things I've seen unleashed on humanity that there was no thought given as to what the side effects or the ramifications may be on all ages. My children were lucky. My first child was born in 1989, my second child born in 1990, and I feel like they were on that cusp. So from the perspective of parents, you know, I was able to protect my children through making choices. They had a computer, but it wasn't connected to the internet. They didn't have mobile phones. There was no way I could barely afford one for myself. You've encountered the generation after my children, their Gen Y. How challenging as a parent has it been for you personally to try and protect your children once you realized what was going on?
Very challenging. To this day, I can say that I'm guilty of not being a parent that really took it seriously enough, in the sense that, you know, I got divorced when my kids were 9 and 6, and I didn't have a landline. For instance, I moved out and I was in an apartment and I didn't have a landline, and that's when they had cell phones. So my son had a cell phone at 9 because, you know, when he's with me, if there's an emergency or anything, he needs to be able to communicate. And granted, my kids are very mature for the age, and my son especially is a very old soul. So some people can think, oh my gosh, 9 years old, that's so young. But if you think about it, a lot of the 9-year-olds today are way more savvy with technology than any of us are, and just kind of more aware. And so I am guilty of giving access to my son at an early age. And once again, not realizing the apps that they could download, the access they had to the internet, all of those things. And it wasn't until later that I realized, oh my gosh, maybe I should have been a little bit, you know, better about that. But again, it's tough because it's the guilt of divorce, all of those things that are compounded in a way where, yeah, you don't think of the consequences, and you don't really look to the bigger picture. Unfortunately, sometimes you're very focused of it in the moment. And I just wanted my kids to be happy, and I wanted them, you know, to have what everybody else was having. So I'm not sitting here saying that I am this like perfect parent that has been doing it correctly. I mean, obviously I can't go back, but if I could, I would choose to be a little bit better about what they were consuming.
Well, how did that play out for them? I mean, what were some of the things you noticed where you sort of regretted giving them access in the first place?
Just like some of the apps that there were out there that they had access to, that there was a lot of cyberbullying on there. And I didn't realize that they were saying things to each other in a way that is just not cool at all. And I think, once again, you're giving access to these kids and they don't know how they're supposed to utilize it. And they also don't realize it's out there, right? Like, I still post and sometimes forget that it goes out into the ether and that anybody can see it. And so for them, that's another big one, is that you really, that plays out too, is that they're, that's there forever.
That's one thing I have never been able to understand, why children as young as 12 and maybe even younger in some situations were given access to a publishing medium where they weren't even of the age where they could be sued for any legal consequences of publishing. Plagiarism, copyright, when you damage someone's reputation, a 12-year-old can't be held accountable for that on a legal standing. So it's quite confounding for me, you know, that we didn't even look at that side of things back then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then, you know, just realizing, you know, now employers, if you apply for a job, the first thing they'll do is look you up and see if you have social media, and they'll check you out. And that was another thing, like, they didn't realize that that was going to be something. I didn't realize that was going to be something, even at myself wanting to look for a job. I mean, who's to say it could have impacted me as well? So a lot of those things that we just look at, fast forward, had no clue until it's just unraveling on its own. And then you're realizing, like, oh, crap.
So what did you learn from developing your YouTube channel and connecting with Gen Zers about them that made you want to invest in creating a documentary about this?
Well, I wanted to take it a step further from my YouTube channel and from my podcast. I'm someone that I'm guilty of being an overachiever, wanting to do a lot. And I was thinking, how do I make even more of an impact? And I've always wanted to travel across the country. And I thought, how cool would it be to actually speak to these Gen Zers in their environment? Like, I feel like that's even more different than, like, over Zoom. You can get even more of an idea of what they're experiencing and just who they are. And what's crazy is that as soon as I came up with the idea that I wanted to do it, the universe just aligned certain people in my way. I now I have two filmmakers that are actually millennials, so they're Gen Y. So it'll be Gen Y, Gen X traveling, talking to Gen Zers. And I thought, there aren't really any films out there or documentaries that are kind of focused on just kind of the real stories of this generation. And as someone that I feel like I have a good rapport with them and they seem to trust me. And I thought, well, if I have that superpower, might as well utilize it. And I'm someone that likes to just go for it and think outside of the box and just kind of just do things that a lot of people question, like, she's crazy. But I want to, like, also not be confined to what I guess people think I should be doing at my age.
I'm jealous, I can say. I mean, I've traveled and shot docos in Africa and, you know, Western parts of Australia. And I love speaking to people and doing what you're about to embark on. So honestly, I just would love to live vicariously through you. What are you hoping to achieve and who are you hoping to impact?
I'm really hoping to impact everyone. I feel like everybody could benefit from hearing what they have to say, not just the Gen Zers listening to their peers, but also for the older generations to understand and have more compassion and empathy for what they're going through, so that maybe next time they do interact with someone in that age group, they're not as snarky or as rude or thinking just to, oh, whatever, they're a Gen Z or what do they know? I'm hoping that people really acknowledge how, like, important it is to talk to them and to listen and to just ask questions and be curious, because every conversation that I've had with a Gen Zer, it's amazing how the majority always thank me for doing what I'm doing. Like, they appreciate it. They really say, we love what you're doing. Thank you for giving us a voice. And it's interesting because when they say that, thank you for giving us a voice, they have a voice on social media. If you think about it, they can literally share anything and everything that they want through Instagram, TikTok. They can do it, but there's something different when it's an older person that actually is interested and wants to hear what they have to say. Like, psychologically for them, it is empowering them and giving this sense of confidence in a way that I realize, like, it's really important.
Netflix released a UK series called Adolescence, and it sparked this conversation right around the world. Now, you're in America, I'm in Australia, and that UK film, I can see that it wouldn't matter where you live, we're all dealing with this. Why do you think none of us have thought about collaborating before and getting together intercontinentally?
I'm not sure, but what's interesting is that I had my very first guest on my Rated Gen Z podcast. So my Rock the Boat, I've had guests internationally, like from all over the world. But this particular podcast, I had my first guest, and she's from Nigeria. And it was amazing talking to her, because you realize, because of social media, she actually realizes how much she has in common with young women her age. She's 18, almost 19, freshman in the university. And because of social media and TikTok and Instagram, she gets to see, like, wow, I can totally relate to a 19-year-old across the other part of the world, where when I was 19, and I'm sure when you were 19, the only concept or idea you had of probably a 19-year-old, let's say in Africa or in India, in another part of the world, or even in the States, was probably through the news. That's how it was for me. So that is one positive I see, that we do see we're more similar than we are different. And not only that, like you just said, it resonates across the board, because the podcast that I'm going to be releasing next week is actually a 26-year-old male. And we touch upon toxic masculinity online and how he's been guilty of feeding into it as well. And just having that conversation with him, and he and I mentioned adolescence, and he looked and he pointed up to his TV, and he's like, I was just watching episode one before we started recording this. So yeah, it's like, if we have all these streaming channels and we can view all these, you know, different series and movies from all over the world, then yeah, why aren't we doing something to collaborate more?
Well, the other thing I noticed watching adolescence was that Gen X to Gen Y, there was a change in the way they communicated because of technology, texting. They changed how to spell words. They short formed everything. They cut corners. They came up with new lingos. Well, then between Gen Y and Gen Z, they've done it again. I got a complete education on emojis. I will never ever use anything but a red heart. Incel was something I'd never heard before.
But I hadn't either.
Involuntary celibacy that's being used to bully young men. I mean, well, some of them are actually self-declared. I mean, just blew my mind to think I'm living in a world where I'm probably not even capable of communicating with the Gen Z currently. Yeah. How can we all improve our understanding of the world they've been living in so that we are capable of being a little bit kinder and having empathy?
Just asking questions and being curious. I think not enough people are even wanting to ask them anything, because it's almost like they're intimidated by that generation. It's amazing how many people are just like, I don't even want to go there. And I'm like, well, why not? Like, they're human too. They have the same core emotions that you do. And, but yet it's like, they almost like treat them like they're like these aliens. And once again, the more I speak to this generation, the more I realize that they're no different. It's just now they have social media and technology that they have to, you know, worry about. But if you think about it, like the baby boomers, like my parents' generation, they were super misunderstood too, because they were like that first hippie generation and Woodstock and everything. I mean, talk about, I'm sure everybody was freaked out by them because the drugs and all that stuff, right?
Like free love.
Yeah, free love. And so if you think about it, it's always been a thing. And even my mom's like, you know, we thought we were going to change the world. I go, yeah, but that's the beauty of it. Gen Z is several generations below her, and they still want to change the world. I'm like, that's something that we shouldn't like get rid of. Like, if anything, hope and wanting to do something positive and make a difference, like that's something that should transcend through all generations. And so that's why I want to have their voices heard, so that people recognize that it's really not that different, being able to just bridge that gap with them.
Given that Gen Z is living in this, or within this toxic culture, what do they want to change about the world?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of them aren't even on social media, because a lot of them are just like, we know how toxic it is, and we know how it affects our mental health, and we don't even want to be on it. So it's a lot of those young adults that realize, like, yeah, we need to do something to better, you know, our mental well-being and so forth. A lot of them, I think, you know, unfortunately, our planet, you know, climate change and just everything that we're doing to destroy it, I think they realize, like, we need to do something in order to change that. So I feel like they have the same social activism and just like environmental activism that a lot of us, our generations had as well. A lot of them started nonprofits. I can't tell you how many have started nonprofits. It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, me too. That sounds awesome. What sort of nonprofits are they starting?
A lot of it's mental health. Once again, kind of it's okay not to be okay. Just break that stigma. A lot of them is environmental. There is this one young lady that I met through Instagram. She's 16. She started a nonprofit because she wanted to help anybody her age that had experienced a loss of a parent or a loved one at a young age. So she lost her father when she was five. So now she has grief camps and she did a grief workbook. And so there she has this nonprofit. And I will tell you this, Kim, this is where once again, the universe, and this is why I continue to do what I'm doing, because it's situations like these. So this young woman reaches out to me on Instagram because she saw what I was doing and she said, we would love to be a part of your film and what you're doing. So we were texting back and forth through Instagram. And I don't know anybody that has a nonprofit for kids that have lost a loved one. And the next day, I'm not kidding you, I get a text from a friend of mine who said, I have a colleague whose partner has a daughter who's 15 and she's struggling. She lost her father when she was five. She's kind of acting out at this age and the mother just wanted to talk to somebody. So I got on a phone call with her that morning, half hour conversation. She was lovely. And I said, I'm going to connect you to this nonprofit and this young woman who's the same age, lost her father at the same age. I connected them already. Like there was, you know, a connection there. She was going to send her book. And not only that, she said, are you okay with me getting on a FaceTime so I can introduce you to my daughter? Because I told my daughter, because her daughter finally was like, I need help. Like, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be hurting and angry and doing things that, you know, are just not the best choices for me. And we got on a FaceTime and she got on there. And I just simply was like, listen, we know, you know, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. And they didn't want a therapist. Like, they just wanted just an adult to kind of understand her. And we just talked back and forth and she took my number. And I just said, anytime you ever need to call or text me, like I'm here. And her mom was appreciative that there was an adult that was willing to just be a sounding board to her. And that's why I told her, I said, listen, you can text and just vent. I'm not going to judge. It'll be a safe space. I'm not going to try to tell you what to do or how to live your life. But sometimes it's nice just to have someone hear you out. And she took my number and if I hear from her again, great. If I don't, I don't. But the fact that I was able to connect her to this other young woman who started the nonprofit, it's those moments, Kim, that I realized, like, I'm meant to be doing this. You know, it's not just a film or a podcast. It's like a way of life for me now.
I feel exactly the same way. In fact, since I started this podcast November last year, I've connected more of the people I've spoken with than I probably have to listeners.
Right? And that's happened too. I had two guests that were on my Rated Gen Z podcast. They saw my post on LinkedIn that they were both on it. They realized they were in the same city. They themselves went out and met for coffee. They have become friends. I think they were going to do a double date with their husbands and they're going to be in the film, but it was all just because they were both on my podcast and realized that they were the same age and lived in the same city.
Raquel, I am so privileged and honored to have met you. You're doing amazing things and I can't wait to hear more about what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here, Kim. Lovely speaking to you.
The wonderful Raquel Boras, mum to Gen Zers and creative genius behind multiple YouTube channels and the podcast Rated Gen Z. For all her links, check out the show notes, or you can simply search for Raquel, R-A-Q-U-E-L, Boras, B-O-R-R-A-S, online. To connect with me, go to my website, kimclidon.com. That's K-I-M-K-L-E-I-D-O-N.com. If you know someone who's being the change they want to see in the world, nominate them to be a guest on the program. Until next time, thanks for listening. This podcast is recorded in Launchpad Studios thanks to Greater Whitsunday Innovation, formerly Split Spaces.